Joining us on this segment, as promised at the top of the show, is Dr. Tony Hill to take a look back at 2002. Thanks for coming, Tony.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I don't really know how we're going to do this because I got a whole bunch of material in front of me, but let's just, I guess, just kind of go through it.
Highlights.
You know, I think that, you know, if we're going to look forward to 2003 and everyone starts to do that, the second we turn the first of the year, we need to know where we've been.
Because we're building so much positive momentum over this last year. I think everyone's thinking renewal, economic boom. Everyone's just thinking positive. We're just going to shotgun into the new year.
Well, let's do that. But to know where we're going to go, we need to know where we've been. So let's take some approaches. We got first of all, we got the Weekly World News to help us. We may want to consider, you know, using them.
You know, it's typically quoted in most of the journal articles I read as one of the, you know, best peer-reviewed journals out there.
Because, you know, they have a lot of stories that seem to, that the mainstream media just covers up, I think.
Yeah,
I did not see in the mainstream media this story about the wacky predictions of Adolf Hitler that had been found, I guess, after 57 years in a drawer somewhere.
I don't know why they'd cover it up.
Yeah, I did not. I think we should take, you know, a brief look at the Weekly World News. Hitler, according to this story, and it looks to be well-researched, apparently predicted the rise of Jennifer Lopez. I'm inclined to believe this, because according to the article, his journal speaks of a, quote, Latin woman with a large derriere who becomes famous for her singing, dancing, and frequent weddings. Now, that could only be Jennifer Lopez.
Without question. Yeah, that's rock solid.
You know, my own personal survey of news in the United States, my own, it's admittedly an unscientific survey, I've tallied about 72% of the news we get appears to be domestic, about 9% appears to be foreign news, but it appears that about 20%, I think, is Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, Hollywood has definitely latched on to the it girl or the, you know, the flavor of the month thing. I've never seen one of those Hollywood rags or TV entertainment where they just say, nothing interesting happened this month. You know, there's nothing going on.
Isn't every time you turn on AOL, isn't it like either pee, puff, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, D Daddy Combs, and or J-Lo and or Ben Affleck? I mean, isn't it like always one of their faces?
I don't use AOL as my principal conduit to entertainment.
I see, which is why I need you on this show, because you're apparently quite a bit smarter than I am.
In so much as I avoid these advertisements that hit you hard, yes.
Well, AOL is what? I think it's the spawn of the devil, but, you know.
Maybe I'm being too harsh. Never used it.
Okay, it's pretty bad. But again, let's return back to the article on Hitler. You know, I'm surprised by this. He apparently predicted the birth of the internet and apparently porn websites. He made reference to, quote, an electronic method of distributing racy adult materials, unquote. That's apparently quoting Adolf Hitler. I don't know. I think they exaggerate some of these stories.
No, I don't think so.
No? Well, I'm looking forward to the cloning of the five U.S. presidents that's supposed to come forward in the year 2003.
Do we get to pick which five? Because it'd be a real bummer if
the cover looks like they've got Roosevelt, Lincoln, Truman, and Kennedy. But I can't tell whether that's John Adams or John Quincy Adams. All right, here's one. Let's talk about what was supposed to be, according to its promoter, the biggest thing since the internet. Were you following that one with
rapt attention, uh-huh, that it was going to come out. We didn't know what it was.
No, we didn't know what it was.
We just knew what its price range was. That was all we got. But I MSRP. That's all we'll tell you.
Was the guy Cayman? What was the guy's name?
I can't remember the fellow.
Cayman. What's his first name?
Wasn't he associated with Apple somehow?
He was, I don't know. He was associated with some sort of corporate Bonnie and Clyde, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But remember, the research said, well, you know, we've looked at the patents that he's taken out, and they seem to be these, like, strange little scooters. And he finally unveils the it, which is going to be bigger than the internet. And it looks like an upright lawnmower. It looks like a push mower that you get on, and gyroscopes keep you from falling on your butt as you go up to 11 miles an hour on the sidewalk. Woo! With a scooter.
Now, I mean, on the show Jackass, they could be pretty fun with that if they're going down like a black diamond on the scooter, just flying like crazy.
Oh, Dr. Hill, I think that the comparison to Jackass is really appropriate for this news story. I mean, does Mr. Cayman, I don't know if he's aware of this fact, there already is a personal transportation device which is capable of speeds of 11 miles an hour that can move individuals around in cities. They're called bicycles!
Yeah, but you have to pedal those.
But you can't ride them. Imagine if people were allowed, I think correct me if I'm mistaken, but I believe probably every legal jurisdiction in this great nation bans bicycle riding on the sidewalks for obvious reasons.
Not a good idea.
Right. And yet this guy wants to take the thin profile of the bicycle, widen it out to about a good meter, put you on the upright lawnmower and scoot you along the sidewalk at 11 miles an hour.
And trim the hedge while you're at it.
What is wrong with this picture?
You haven't seen a lot of those taken over any TV shots of any major metropolitan area.
The only good thing I can say about it is that thank God I didn't invest in his company. But no, he wants to get authorization to get people on the streets. So you get to dodge people on upright lawnmowers as you're commuting now in America's congested urban areas.
Well, you can kind of see the picture of the businessman in his three-piece suit with the tie flapping behind his neck, and he's sipping on some coffee while scooting around with everybody else. You know, might work.
I don't know. You know, if you go to Beijing, there's bicycles. People actually are commuting to work on bicycles. It works pretty well. And I don't know why this really ought to catch on. I mean, Davis is the city of bicycles. I still like to bike around in Sacramento like I was living my old college days. And it's a very effective and healthy way to get around.
And a little bit cheaper than the price tag of the IT.
I never have to worry about the price of oil coming out of OPEC.
Well, you do, but just not for your bicycle.
Well, yeah, admittedly, I do have to commute to work in a car. Unfortunately, it's the reality of the world. But, you know, Davis, people make fun of Davis on this one, you know, as being this funky little environmental community, but they really do have this one right.
Yeah, the bicycles are the way to go. Well, one bright note for this year is in the German Constitution, they extended some limited rights to non-human animals into their constitution, which kind of seems like the way of the future in terms of if we're going to start.
It does?
Well, so here in the United States, right?
Yeah.
If you want to take a cattle prod to your dog in the backyard, uh-huh. right? You're a psychopath and you should be put in jail.
Depends on the dog.
Yeah. But if you wear a lab coat, right, and you just write some defensible argument for why it should be done, then it's A-OK, you know? So as long as you're a scientist, it's OK. Well, in the German Constitution, they abstracted limited rights, uh-huh. as in if Maybelline wants to develop a new rouge color, then they shouldn't be able to use it on non-human, non-volunteers, that it's not really their decision as a company to do that. So it's kind of a step in the right direction towards some consideration to our non-human brethren. So that's a positive thing out of the year.
Okay. Well, as you know, you heard our program that we did with the distinguished Dr. Whitney Lehman, where we discussed animal rights and things like slaughtering and doing it in a humane fashion. And I can certainly get behind an awful lot of that. But constitutional rights?
Why not?
I think of the Seinfeld line about how, people in the future will be saying, well, things were different back in my day. You know, dogs couldn't vote back then.
There was a funny David Letterman top 10, where it's top 10 signs the president has gone crazy and fanatically tries to endorse the right for dogs who think they're people to vote. So what's interesting about this huge Republican, you know, takeover.
Meaning election 2002.
Correct. And uh-huh. I thought it was summarized well on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
What did he say?
Imagine this is Congress and you had 100 M&Ms, right? And 49 of them were blue and 51 of them were red. Uh-huh. He's just like, the revolution was, if you take one of these blue M&Ms and turn it red, now you've got a majority the other way. It's like amazing. Look at this fundamental paradigm shift that happened. You know, it's just an incredible turnabout, you know, and really that's all that happened. I mean, there was this incremental shift in the noise that just turned the majority from, you know, one vote one way to one vote the other. It wasn't this monumental, you know.
I suspect our founding fathers are spinning in their graves over the notion that if you get 51 votes, you get all the committee chairs that are the plum assignments and get to control the legislation. Where is in the Constitution to talk about the Democratic and Republican Party?
Well, in the Constitution, it mentions the great three-fifths compromise, which seems much more ludicrous than anything else that we're talking about
here. Refresh my memory on the three-fifths compromise.
Well, the 3/5 compromise in that, you know, we always look at the framers as of the Constitution as these enlightened men. They considered, you know, the dilemma of the South wanted to count slaves as for the census,
yeah,
right,
for
voting
votes,
purposes,
right.
But they weren't allowed to vote. And so the great compromise was, you know, slaves counted as 3/5 of a person for census, although they couldn't vote. So it's kind of hard to look at them as infallible if, you know, like
well,
if they have difficulty, you know, like prophesizing whether the Whigs are going to take over the Democrats sort of thing. If they institutionalize slavery and, you know, this weird ratio sort of thing, you know.
There's nothing in our Constitution about political parties and our founding fathers almost to a man were extremely suspicious of them. I think Ben Franklin at one point said, if we ever get him, the democracy experiment's over. He said something very much along those lines, that they were very much anti-party. And of course, the parties took over in about the 1840s and have run the show ever since. So your Eminem, the story, I think, is valid. But I do want to say that, you know, in a political compromise, even in like science, sometimes you have to sort of weigh two things and average them out. And what's the old line about a statistician? It says, if you're sitting on a block of ice with your head in the oven, on the average, you're quite comfortable. So yeah, I don't know.
That's a great metaphor.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know how, what they, I mean, this, of course the South wanted to count their slaves as they didn't give them any votes, but you know, what is it, Bismarck that said that anyone who respects the law and likes to eat sausage shouldn't watch how either one gets made? You can imagine the horse trading that went on. Well, no, I'll say you got to count my slaves. Well, no, and the guys in the North like, no way, we're not counting your slaves. They're just your slaves. And they said, okay, we'll give them 3/5.
I mean, it must have been a breakthrough at the time, you know, but it just seems so ridiculous.
Well,
now,
you could also point out that the women couldn't vote till 1920. I mean, these old guys that talk about how great it was in the old days, I don't want to be one of those because they didn't have it perfect to begin with. But at the same time, I feel pretty secure in pointing out that political parties did not enhance the American experiment in democracy.
Well, and as we're taking a look back at the previous years, when people talk about the great old days, so they romanticize periods, right? If you look at the 1700s, you know, the revolution happened and it was the age of enlightenment. Well, it was also, you know, there was the age of syphilis and there was also the age
wait a minute. Syphilis was big in the 1500s when Columbus came back and it spread all through. Even Shakespeare was making jokes about it.
Yeah, well, wasn't there a tremendous VD during the 1700s?
Well, I think it pretty much never really went away till the advent of modern antibiotics.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a pleasant time.
Still not a good idea to acquire syphilis, but but it was especially
just
bad when there was no cure.
Touch won't do you wrong. But
yeah,
you couldn't. You know, you didn't have any sort of antibiotics or penicillin. Everything was life threatening. You know, if you get a cut or the sniffles, you could be on your way out. You know, you lived in, you know, unwashed clothes for the most part. I mean, it wasn't, you know, as romantic as you would think looking at all these, you know, like movies and period pieces on the period.
If you've stumbled on a great topic, you need to come back and do with me on the subject, which I find very fascinating, of soap. Soap is a rather modern innovation. I mean, like, it's really was widely used, I think, from the late 1800s on. Before that, it was a novelty. You used it basically to, like, lubricate your drawers and your furniture, I think, so that it would slide better.
Well, and, you know, the whole idea of having a flower on your lapel, it wasn't pure decoration in those days, right? You're walking around in mounds and mounds of horse manure every direction, right?
Yeah.
There's no municipal, you know, garbage picking things up regularly, right? So you have to bury your nose in a pile of flowers just so you can get from one side of the street to the other before passing out. You know, like these things are glossed over when we think of the good old days. Or, you know, also everyone talks about the 50s as being this great time. Well, what if you were, you know, like, what if you were black or what if you were a woman, you know? Like, it doesn't seem like the glory days for those positions, you know? Like not being able to go to Disneyland, not being able to hold a job, you know? It's only the glory days for a very small subset of society, and somehow it's stuck as being that was idyllic time. Whenever anyone looks back and says that it used to be idyllic and now we're all screwed up sort of thing, that's just the running thing that's been said since Confucius, you know, and farther back, you know, 4,000 years ago, they said that people were spoiled, you know,
like, yeah,
and that things were much better before we learned about the wheel.
The Greek philosophers complaining about the young kids come like have no respect for their elders.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right,
300 BC. Yeah. You know.
And wasn't it Socrates was made to drink the hemlock for corrupting the minds of youths? And that was, you know, because he was just too outlandish, you know.
He was a bit of a case. I think it was pretty trumped up. We know we're on a KDVS station. We're talking about Socrates. But, you know, that's the kind of thing you do on community radio. You know, we're not, we're not trying to flog Clairol. I think that in Socrates' case, if my memory serves me correctly, he decided that all his friends just said, look, if you just recant, they're going to let you off the hook. But the guy was old and figured, you know what? If I go out with a bit of style drinking the poison, they're going to be remembering me for millennia. And by God, we do.
Yeah, it was a good call marketing-wise.
PR-wise, it's hard to fault him. But I've got to say, you know, I wouldn't drink hemlock to be remembered 2,000 years from now, would you? Well, we did cover quite a bit of ground here, Dr. Held, and I want to thank you for doing it with me.
Well, thanks for having me. It's nice to start off the year with mad ramblings.
Yeah, well, you know, as long as it's interesting, and I hope it was, but thanks again. You've been listening to Radio Parallax on KDVS 90.3 FM. Stay tuned for our final segment after these messages.